practical application of working out your faith. It's the practical application, a very practical way of working out your faith. And so we've been going through things here in chapter 12. And we got to the place in the last part of verse 12 where it says to be instant in prayer. Oh, and now, you know, I was tempted to go on a little bit last week to and just finish up verse 12 with instant in prayer. But that is so deep and so beautiful. And one of the most important things that God has given us in our tool belt of spiritual warfare, that I wanted to spend some time on this one. So I just ended the study last week, and here we are, instant in prayer. Be instant in prayer. Now, what does it mean to be instant in prayer? It means to really be ready, as it says actually in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that in a busy day? Pray without ceasing. Well, I always love what Pastor Louis says, and this Pastor Louis here, he always talked about arrow prayers. And so during the course of a day, when you're facing problems and difficulties, you send up arrow prayers to the Lord, and that's praying without ceasing. You're saying, Lord, how do we do this right now? Lord, I'm kind of stumped on this. Can you help me with this problem, that problem? Those are arrow prayers. Just shooting up quick prayers to the Lord all day long. And God's walking with you and talking with you and taking care of you and watching over her, you, just like he did my granddaughter on the freeway this day and brought her here safely. And it's just amazing the way that works. Now, this idea of being instant in prayer, I'd like to say this about that when someone asks you to pray for them, you should do it right then. That's what God has shown me. Be instant in prayer. Instant. It happens instantly. You know what instant means. It means you put the instant coffee in your cup and you stir it up and it happens. There's coffee. Boom. Boom. And so we want to be boom with prayer. If someone comes up and says, brother, remember to pray for me because I'm going for a job interview tomorrow. And I always say, let's pray right now. And just hold hands and pray and lift it up to the Lord. You don't have to make any big, giant, written prayer or some kind of, thing that rhymes or has flower words on it. Just talk to God. Just say, God, help my brother get this job tomorrow if it's your will. And that means more than you know. Because God listens to prayers. He listens to prayer. The Bible says that his ear is not deaf, that he cannot hear. And it goes straight from your lips to his ear. And God will take note of that prayer and work on that prayer and really do that prayer. Prayer is so important to him. And I wanted to show you how important prayer is today from the Word of God before we move on to the next thing. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2:1. This is under the topic of how important is prayer. So we go to 1 Timothy 2:1 in the Bible now. 1 Timothy is past Romans, so you need to flip in your Bibles past Romans, and you go past Philippians as you come to Philippians eventually and Colossians. Now you get to all the T's in the Bible. They're all together in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And so you want to go to 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, we have to consider the context of what this is written in. This is a letter that Paul, the apostle, wrote to his own dear son in the faith, who is now a pastor. He's the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and so he begins to speak to him, and he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, Timothy, as your apostle, writing to you as a young man, a young pastor, I want to tell you the very first thing that you need to always remember to do. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications. And what a supplication is a humble, earnest request. A humble, earnest request. Supplications and prayers, intercessions, interceding for people that are in trouble. When you take them to the Lord, you're interceding for them. And the giving of thanks, and this is very important, the giving of thanks, be made for all men. And it and then mentions kings and those in authority and so forth. You pray for the president. Oh, yes. We do have a presidential prayer meeting if you want to come to it on Saturday night at 8:30 every Saturday night in my office. We pray for President Trump, his administration, all the difficulties he's facing, and all the giant things that are happening in the country. That's what we pray for every Saturday night. Brother Brian is the one that sets out the presidential prayer team prayer requests for us. And so anytime you want to join a prayer meeting, it meets every Saturday night, 8:30, and we pray, like the Word of God says here. You pray for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Do you want to live a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? Do you want to do that? Will you pray for your leaders? That's what it says here. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, even if they're not saved. And I've had to pray for many presidents that weren't saved. But I would continue to pray for them, yes. Because it says he would have all men to be saved, especially our leaders, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. There it is, just straight up, isn't it? But he's saying here to Timothy again, how important is prayer? It's the first thing you do. It's the first thing you do. Whenever we have any event in the church, first we pray and ask God to lead in it, to bless it, to bring his fruit through it, and to do a good and mighty work. And God is faithful to do that. He's so faithful to bless the work, because we've asked him to actually be in charge. And so at the men's prayer meeting every Thursday night, we pray for the things of the church. And people write prayer requests all week and they leave them in a box. And so the men get them on Thursday night and we go through them and we take turns praying one at a time for all the prayers of the church. Because the first of all, Timothy, young pastor, pray. Pray. And it says, for all men, for the non-believers, the believers, everybody that you can think of. Pray for your dad to get saved, man. Your mom to get saved if they're not saved. Pray for your brothers and sisters that don't know the Lord. For God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the way he puts it right here. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, for he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's his will. And so first of all, the first thing you do, Timothy, before you open your mouth to preach, the first thing you do before you do anything else, this is number one, pray. Pray. Bring forth supplications, the humble, earnest requests, the prayers and the intercessions, and giving of thanks. Giving of thanks is prayer. When we are thankful to the Lord, that's a prayer of thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, they had sacrifices of thanksgiving. They would bring a thank offering to the Lord. And as we bring thankfulness to him, it's an offering and a sacrifice to God. And sometimes it will be a sacrifice because we don't have great days all the time, do we? We'll have a sad and hard days, don't we? Yeah. But then we bring the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And this is the first thing we should always think about as Christians. That's how important prayer is. First of all, Timothy, prayers, supplications, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And it is awesome what God can do. Now, the second thing I'd like to give to you about the importance of prayer, I'm going to give you three things, is that it's part of the armor of God. It's part of your protection. You know, we want to be protected from the wiles, from the tricks of the enemy. We want to be found standing at the end of a day instead of laying flat on our faces in discouragement and defeat. We want to have a good spiritual day. So we put on the armor of God every day, piece by piece. And one of the pieces of the armor of God, last but not least, is prayer. Let's take a look at that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now Ephesians is back before before Timothy and Titus and all those. And you go back to the first T, which is 1 Thessalonians. You go to Colossians backwards. We're going backwards. And we go to Philippians. And then we go to Ephesians, and it's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now all the armor of God is listed there. So good to study the armor of God. But tonight we just want to look at one piece, and that's the last piece of the armor of God. There is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there is the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the shoes is what is the preparation of the gospel. You're ready to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation. Guard your brain against evil thinking. Then at the end it says, verse 18, chapter 6 of Ephesians, praying always. Praying when? Always. Oh man, it's just so important that we are men and women of prayer. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, all of your buddies. You know, I want to give you a personal hint from this verse. It says, praying always for all saints. Now, sometimes you'll get mad at one of the saints, one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the devil tries to make me mad many times in my prayer walk when I'm praying for the body here and for my sermon coming up. I do this every Friday for my sermon on Sunday and every Tuesday for my sermon on Wednesday. And the devil tries to interrupt my prayers by getting me mad at somebody. It's just amazing. I've looked back through the years and see how the devil's done this, and he wants to energize you against a person in the body of Christ that you know and love. And you know what the Lord wants you to do? Pray for them. Yeah. And man, it's immediate out from the bitterness and the shame and the awfulness of being mad at somebody. You pray for them. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You go in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And this is a tremendous thing to learn and then practice. You start thinking bad thoughts about somebody, and that makes me mad. And of course the devil says, yeah, come on, let's get mad at him. But if you just turn around and say, Lord, bless them. Bless them, edify them, build them up in you, Jesus, and make them close to you and closer to you. And man, it just changes your whole outlook and gives you a much better day, because all you're hurting is yourself when you allow anger to eat away at your soul or bitterness against somebody. Don't do that. Pray for them. Pray that God would bless them and lead them and transform them by the renewing of their minds. You know, my wife said to me once, she said, you know what? When somebody in the body of Christ seems to be on the wrong track, just give them 10 years. And God will work on them and bring them back. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because everyone in Jesus' program is being daily conformed to the image of Him, right? We're daily conformed to the image of Jesus. So after 10 years of that, you're looking pretty good, dude. I'm telling you. Yeah. And I've had that happen to me. There was a guy in the church here, he used to sit back there, further back than you, Daniel, tonight, right in the back row there, and he gave me such trouble. Oh man, he was hard. He was a hard dude. He was a hard nut to crack. And he gave me trouble for years. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. He went over to the Stadium Vineyard for a while, and then other churches, and skipped around. I didn't hear from him after a while. But later on, and it was about 10 years later, just like my wife said, just give him 10 years. He showed up in my office one day. He says, Pastor Mark, he says, the Lord has touched my heart. And I'm married now, and I have 3 kids, and I'm in San Francisco, and I'm giving Bible studies. And I just remembered you, and I wanted to come back and thank you for all the Bible studies you gave me. And I was just awed. I said, Lord, what did you do to this guy? And it's the changing power of God. And you know, this is what we're to do. We're to pray. God, just straighten us out. Help us. And Lord, bless these guys. That love believes all things. That's what it means. I believe for your brothers. Believe for them. God's going to bring them along. Make them better. You don't need to hate them or get mad at them and stay mad. We're all in the same boat together. One beggar showing another beggar where to find bread, right? And so you pray for them. And so this is part of the armor of God. This is part of protection for you from bitterness. Yeah. You pray for those that you want to be mad at. And yes, you even pray for your enemies. Those that are after your carcass, whatever. Yeah. Oh man. That's what the Bible says to do. This is good for you. This is part of your protection from the wiles of the enemy to make you into a bitter pill that is just bitter at the world and everybody in it. To just change your heart as you pray for people. It's an amazing thing. So, prayer is really important. Why? It's the first thing we should do. First thing. And second, it's part of the armor of God to protect you from yourself and to protect you from the enemy, which wants to put electricity inflows or lightning bolts with your rebellion. He loves to light you up for that, the enemy. But we need to just move away from him, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And one of these ways in that obedience is just to pray always. Doesn't it say that right there, verse 18? Pray always. Be instant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Now the third thing is something that we all want real bad. And prayer is what gets you there. Peace. I have no peace in my life. I'm always in turmoil. I'm always upset. I'm always ungulating with acids or whatever. Isn't that terrible? Brother Louis. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 on this one. Got Pastor Louis' funny bone. Philippians 4:6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, be careful for nothing. You know, the Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Well, how do you do that? How do you not worry about anything? But in everything, pray. It's through prayer. That's how you do it. You move quickly from worry. And worry is a responsibility that God never intended for you to have. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. He's even watching you when you're asleep. He doesn't need the sleep. And he watches over you, even in your sleep, or even when you're on the freeway. It's amazing. And so it says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice the with thanksgiving. We saw that there in 2 Timothy 1, too, didn't we? 1 Timothy chapter 2. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, And then what happens? It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Sometimes you will just get a peace that you can't even understand. And maybe there's a whole bunch of really rowdy things going on in your life, and there's no reason you should have any peace. But you've gone to the Lord in prayer about the rowdy things, and He has brought a supernatural peace that you can't explain. It passes understanding. Shall keep your hearts, or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the third thing that's important about prayer is it brings peace. And brother and sister, you need a truckload of peace, don't you? I know what you need. You need a truckload of peace. You need a big old truck full of peace to back up and go and dump on you the whole truckload. Then you start feeling really better, right? And this is how it comes. You learn to turn your cares into prayers. You learn to say, Jesus, I can't handle this. I have to give it to you. And this is way beyond me. This is way over my head. And I know that you have broad shoulders. And you can handle it. And you bring it with thanksgiving. You know what that saying is? You bring it with faith. You know that now that you're bringing this thing to the Lord, it's really going to be handled. And I know that in my heart, and I'm going to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're hearing my prayer, because I'm believing that you hear prayer, because you told me to ask that I might receive. You've told me to seek, and I will find. And you've told me to knock, and it will be open to me. You said those things to me, Lord, and I believe that. And I know you're going to answer my prayers. And all of a sudden, you're thankful to God. And you're thanking Him for it. And that is faith. That's a prayer of faith. He doesn't want you to pray complaining. That's just kind of a thing of not believing, isn't it? Oh, God. Everything's so bad. And I don't know, this is my last resort. If you want to help me, oh, I guess you can't really help me. That's horrible. Bad prayer. Good prayer. Lord, you are God. You created the heavens and the earth. And I'm quoting now from Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and also from the disciples in Acts. That's the way they started their prayers. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, hear our prayer. And they begin to thank the Lord and bless Him. And praise the Lord, here comes Connie, bro. Connie's on her way. She's right behind you. She'll be coming in, I hope. There she goes. That's his wife. Anyway, and so we just praise the Lord and give Him the thanksgiving. Thank Him in advance. And there it is. I got to tell you a story about my son James. He was listening to Pastor Chuck on the radio. Pastor Chuck was telling his story about how the Lord chided him for not thanking Him before he got his deliverance. It was a funny thing that happened to him in Arizona. He was praying for a deliverance of money in the mail, and looking for it in the mail every day, and it wasn't coming. And a friend called him up and said, Chuck, I've been thinking about you. I'm sending you money. And so then he was so sure that he was going to get money, because his friend said it was coming, that he became relieved and thankful. And the Lord said to him, why weren't you thankful to me? Because I said in my word that I would take care of you financially, but you weren't believing that. And so James heard this on the radio, and his rent was due. It was due. $1,000. He was renting over here in Orange. And he said, you know what? I got to do this. I'm really stressed about not having the rent money right now. But he says, I'm going to thank God in advance for God's deliverance because God's promised to take care of me. And he began to walk up and down in his living room and thank God in advance. Praise you, Jesus, for the rent coming. Praise you, Lord. And he got a check in the mail that day from the insurance company, of all places, for $1,000, the exact amount he needed for his rent. And he learned a lesson. He learned a lesson. To be thankful in advance for God's deliverance. Look to the Lord. Look to him. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and the things that you need to live will be added to you. I believe that. And as we read the scriptures and the gospels, we believe that together, don't we? And so when we bring our prayers and our needs, we bring thankfulness with the prayers, because our God is a mighty God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that's at work within us. And it is a mighty, wonderful thing that he does. It's beautiful. He's beautiful. And his provision and his loveliness and his getting the victory is always there for us. It's always there. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. God always, not sometimes, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And I love that truth in the Bible. And I've never seen it, never in my whole life, seen it go south. And I've been a pastor. It'll be next year, I'll be a pastor for 40 years. 40 years, and I've never, ever seen him fail me, my family, or my church. He's been so good. He's good. He's good. Ooh, he's good. And that's what brings the smiles to a Christian's life, because the Lord never leaves us and he never forsakes us. He never does. You might have had earthly fathers that have left you. I did. I had 2 dads leave me. And I was really hurt with that. But my Heavenly Father has never left me. And I feel like he spoils me, because he knows I've had dads leave me. And I just needed a good dad. So he says, I'm here. And you know, as we just come to him, just ask him for help. Just see what God can do. Because he is able. Yeah. Mighty. Wonderful. Good. Glory to God. Okay, well, let's go on back to Romans then and get some more practical instruction here. So we've seen that prayer is really important. He's really, really wanting to talk to you and hear from you. That's important to the Lord. Now, let's go to Romans, back to Romans in chapter 12. And we want to look at verse 13. Now, it says here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. The Lord wants you to experience the blessing of giving. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you can learn that at Christmas time if you think real hard. The time that you got that perfect present for somebody you love a lot, and you wrap it real carefully and you put it under the tree. And usually it's kind of like a girlfriend or a wife or somebody, you know, really important to you, or a son or daughter. And you're just real, and you can't wait till they open it. And yeah, you're opening your presents and stuff, but you can't wait until they open that present and see the look on their face. And so just thinking about that scenario, and probably all of you have been there, you see what Jesus said is true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That you get more blessing out of giving to someone else than actually receiving. And the quicker we learn this, the better our lives are. Because we begin to want to give. We begin to want to help people, and we get truly a heart for people. And we begin to pray for them. And see God work with them. And then when you can do something for another person, it feels so good. And you feel so blessed. And you get addicted to it. In fact, there's a couple in the Bible, Stephanus and Fortunus, that were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to it. It's like getting addicted to heroin or something, you know. I mean, you just had to do it. And it is the most blessed thing because it is blessed of God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so it says here, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Brother, come on in. Have some food. Come on, bro. I got waters here. You want a water? You need a water? Yeah, you know, just hospitable to people, loving people that way, and distributing to the necessity of saints. Let me give this to you as Paul gave it to Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go up to 1 Timothy chapter 6, about all the T's again. If you go with me through the Bible, you'll learn the books of the Bible in the course of time. I had a brother was at the church for 28 years, and he said he learned the Bible from turning to all the books I had him turn to. He learned the whole Bible. And so you can do that. If you don't know where the books of the Bible are, you just find them as we're looking at them, and you'll start learning the Bible. And so we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says this, kind of giving reinforcement to distributing to the necessity of saints. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. How many of you know that riches are uncertain? They're here today and gone tomorrow. Riches do make themselves wings and fly away. I mean, it's how it goes, man. You know, you just think you're getting ahead and your car breaks down. Cost you $700 to see that baby again. I mean, that happens to everybody. And you go, whoa, I was just getting ahead. No, the Lord was just getting your money up so you'd be ready for that disaster. So it says, charge them the rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, he's good at that. He really brings joy to our hearts. And he says that they do good, those that have a lot of money, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, distributing to the necessities of the saints, willing to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So actually, as Jesus said, storing up treasures in heaven, as we share when we get ahead and have some extra money to share with somebody that needs some money. Man, that's a blessing because more blessed to give than to receive for you. And it's also a treasure in heaven because God loves the poor. He loves them and he takes care of them. And so he says to the rich that they should be rich in good works, ready to distribute and to share. My wife, I always quote my wife because she's so good at making complicated things simple. But she just says, we need to serve God with an open hand. Whatever he gives us, we should be willing to give back to him and to his people as he leads. And that is a really happy life. It is a happy life. We're not like Scrooge. You know, you've all seen that movie, The Scrooge, you know. I'm just going to hold everything I've got and I'm going to hide it. You can't have any because it's mine. Man, that's a bad life. But man, when Scrooge got the spirit of Christmas in him, oh yeah, that was awesome. I love that movie when Scrooge starts running and dancing and praising God, you know, because he's just opened his heart, opened his hands, and started giving. And, you know, I'm thinking right now of your ministry, brother. You know, you guys back there between services, serving coffee, How many have had coffee and donuts and stuff between services here at Calvary Anaheim? You haven't done that yet? Oh man, you got to do that. This brother here and his wife started that ministry, and it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to distribute to the ministry of the saints. So there it is. Now let's go on then to the next idea, okay? So this is really important for us for not getting into the revenge spirit. Now, Hollywood makes movies all the time about getting revenge, and sometimes you'll even want to cheer when the bad guy dies. Oh man, I did that as a pastor in a theater one time. I was so embarrassed. There was somebody from the congregation right there in the theater sitting up in front of us. But it was this movie called, the Lord's not giving me the remembrance of the movie. That's probably good, so you won't go see it. But it was, something like that. Pay back, make my day, you know. Anyway, it was about a river. That they went down on a river, and Kevin Bacon was the bad guy, and he was so stinking bad. Oh man, what's that? The River Wild. That's the name of the movie. And by the end of the movie, I hated Kevin Bacon so bad that when they finally killed him, I stood up in the theater and cheered. Pastor Mark cheering for somebody that's dying because revenge was taken, you know? I mean, these revenge movies, they really get you into it because they make the guy so stinking. You think this guy deserves to die, man. So I'm going to cheer it, you know? Oh, man. Anyway, the Lord really kind of teaches us the opposite on this. So let's take a look here now. Romans chapter 12, and there's a lot of verses about this. But it says that right here, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And the idea goes on in verse 17, where it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And so, we are to work hard at living peaceably with everybody. That's the name of the game. That's what God wants us to do, considering the faith that He's given us and the call to follow our Savior. Remember what Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Where you would expect someone from that cross to say, Father, smite these dudes. Cut off their heads and tear out their eyeballs, you know, because they've done this thing to me. Not Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sherry and I had such a great experience with that verse on a plane. We were flying to Africa to do a missions thing, and we were on the plane, and this Indian woman came and sat next to me. We were in four seats in the middle of the plane. And Sherry was next to me here, and then next to me on the aisle was an Indian woman with the red spot in the middle of her head and the gown and all. She was Indian. And so we were on the plane for 14 hours together. Oh man, it was the longest flight. And I'm kind of big, so my legs go up against the front of the other seat. It was really uncomfortable and all that, but we don't want to boo-hoo over that. But anyway, this lady laid her head on my shoulder, and she just said, you know, you Americans, you demand your space, but we're more liberal with space, you know, where I'm from, and I need to lay my head on your shoulder. So I went with it, but it was uncomfortable. She's laying her head on my shoulder, but I got my Bible out and I started reading it. And she's kind of started reading over my shoulder. And it really turned into a beautiful time in the Lord. And at the end of the trip, Sherry got out in the aisle with her and quoted that scripture to her that Jesus said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And this woman burst into wild tears right there. She could not believe that someone would ever say that. And it just touched her so deeply. It was really wonderful to see. Because, you know, we don't know as Christians and in our heritage here in this lovely country where we're free, what people from other countries are deprived of. And she never heard that before. Imagine hearing that for the first time, that Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And what that might have meant to her personal life, to receive forgiveness, to receive the blessing of eternal life through the death of someone that would bless you and not curse you. Amazing. It was amazing to her. And she just cried and cried and broke before the Lord. It was really something to see. What a blessing. And so it says, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Now, you know, I'd like to add a scripture to this. Keep your hand in Romans 12 because we're coming right back to the same subject. But let's take a look at Ephesians chapter, I've written down here, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. Where it says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, and long suffering is being very patient, and meekness is humility. This is what we're to have. Forbearing or putting up with one another in love. Endeavoring, meaning really making every effort, every single effort that you possibly can, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so this is our goal, is to actually make every single effort, as much as lies within your power, as we just read back in Romans, live peaceably with all men. You work on it. You swallow things sometimes in offensive things that they've said to you, to try to come back, to make every single effort you can to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Forbearing or putting up with, and you have to put up with people sometimes because they can be real stinkers. How many know that people can be stinkers? Yeah, just one person knows that. No, but anyway, yeah, we think there's two. But it's the truth. And we forbear one another, and we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that is really fruitful. It really is. If you're kind and truly kind and really praying for somebody that's hard, you can really, really win them over with love. And it's, and especially in a marriage, oh yeah. You just be kind to your wife. Take care of her. Give her attention and affection. And she'll be so freed up to love you back. I've seen that again and again in the marriages that are blessed of the Lord. It's the way it works. And it's beautiful. And it's God's way. It's God's way. And so this is a practical thing in walking in the faith. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Okay, now with that then, let's go ahead and finish our thought about this revenge thing. It's important to get this revenge thing right, okay? So it says in verse 19 of Romans 12, are you back there again? Romans 12, 19. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." So, you know, the make my day guy, he had it wrong. You don't get vengeance for yourself. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." In other words, try to get unangry. "For it is written," and this is a promise from the Lord, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You leave it to God. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's hard to just leave it with the Lord and walk away. But this is what the Bible teaches. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, in wanting to return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Now the scripture says this, he who digs a pit will fall into it himself. If there's somebody at work that's digging a pit for you, all the time backbiting you, trying to get you not to have the promotion because he or she wants it, and they're digging a pit, you know, telling the boss terrible things, lying about you, digging a pit, they're just busy digging a pit for you. Well, he who digs a pit will fall into it. So eventually that person will fall into the pit that they're digging for you. Now you have a choice. You can go, that guy is digging a pit for me, so I am going to dig a pit for him. I'm going to get revenge. Sweet. And so I get over here and I start digging a pit. And you're looking at each other and you're digging a pit. You're digging pits together. But what's going to happen? He's going to fall in his pit and you're going to fall in your pit. And then everybody's in a pit. But if you stay out of it and you leave it to the Lord, then he's going to fall in his pit and all is left to do is just bury him. That's terrible, isn't it? I shouldn't have said that. Because we're not supposed to rejoice when our enemy falls, the scripture says. But there it is. I mean, he will fall into a pit. I can tell you so many stories about this, but it's best to tell a Bible story. Do you know the story of Haman? Oh yeah, Haman. Oh, he was a bad dude. He's kind of like Hitler. He's the Hitler of the Old Testament. And he hated Mordecai, got it, Mordecai. And Mordecai was Jewish. And he started actually building a gallows. It was 75 feet high in his own front yard to hang Mordecai on. And so he got Mordecai in trouble with the king and his people, the Jewish people. And they made this plan and plot to kill all the Jews, just like Hitler did in World War II. And anyway, they were foiled because of good King Esther that went in before the king and risked her life to just share and tell the king what was going on. And guess who got hung on the gallows? Haman instead of Mordecai. The guy who built the gallows to hang good Mordecai ended up getting hung himself. And so there is a story to let you know that this is true. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. I will repay, and he will take care of it. He'll take care of it for you. Don't get into it. Don't soil your garments with being evil as well. And so there it is. That's the teaching. Now, I wanted to say one thing about this. This is a saying that's really a saying that's, for many scholars, hard to get past. For in doing so, as you treat your enemy well and give them food when they're hungry and feed them when they're, or drink when they're thirsty, for in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. What does that mean? You know, there's one commentator I read this week that said, the Western mind can't understand what this means, so don't even try. And I went, what? I mean, this is the Bible. I need to know what this means. And so now some have actually brought forth that this is a good thing that's being said here. You'll heap coals of fire on his head. And this is one of the stories that's shared. That in those days, it was common when a person who cooked, they cooked and got their heat from the same fire, and it was with burning coals. And so if the coals go out, you need to find another burning coal to start your fire again to make you warm or so you can cook. So you go to your neighbor with this actually bucket that's called a brasserie, B-R-A-S-U-R-E, brasserie. And so this bucket is designed to carry things on the head. And so the idea is this, that you would go next door to your neighbor would give you a burning coal from his fire and put it in the brasserie. And you would take that next door and use that to start your fire. So that's a neighborly thing to do. So some Bible scholars take that fact and use that here. Heap coals of fire on his head is a good thing because you're helping him start his fire next door. Now, some people see this as a bad thing. And let me give you this one that I read this week too. The Egyptian custom to which a person who wanted to show public contrition carried a pan of burning coals on his head. Again, they carried many things on their head. That's the way they carried things in those days. And so he would, he wanted to show contrition publicly, would carry a pan of burning coals on his head. The coals represented the burning pain of his shame and guilt. And so the point being that when you do something good for people who have been doing bad things to you, it brings shame on them and guilt on them. And this is to help them to come to repentance. So that is a good thing if they do repent. But anyway, to sum up, well, let me give you one more scripture. Proverbs 25:22. Let's just go there and we'll end there tonight with Proverbs 25:22. And it says this, for thou shalt, okay, verse 21 of Proverbs 25. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you shall heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. Now, some translations say coals of shame on his head. So, you can see this in different ways, can't you? Coals of fire means actually judgment, God's fiery judgment upon their lives. And the other way, they might become shameful and guilt-ridden and so repent and come to the Lord, and that's a good thing. Or, if you want to take it the first way, you're just sharing a coal with them to start their fire. So it's in the good thing area. All of this confuses me. So maybe it's confused you. So I want to just say this. Some people think it's good to get coals of fire on the head, and some people think it's bad. But I think both are right. It depends on the reaction of the person, whether it's going to be good for them or bad for them. And I'll end with this final scripture, if you just turn with one more scripture with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor and aroma of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? No one but Christ makes us sufficient. But what this is saying is, if you do a kind thing to a mean person, if that person does not want Jesus or his ways at all, that will be a savor, an aroma unto him of death unto death. And so truly, fire will come, and he will burn forever in hell, death unto death. As a Christian, that's what you are to non-believers that never repent, a savor of death unto death. So your kind deed will help them along on their journey to understand they deserve hell and that's where they're going. But unto others, you're a savor of life unto life. And so to some that have you do a kind deed when they've done an evil deed, they will feel guilty about it. They will feel shame. They will come to Jesus with their shame and get saved. And they are now having eternal life because of your good deed. You've been a savor and aroma of life unto life. And so it goes both ways. And so as the scholars argue over whether this is good or bad, it's both. It depends on the person, what they're going to do with that. But our part is to treat them with respect and to do good things to them, no matter how bad the things they are to do to us. To see them saved, born again, actually see there's a difference in a life that has Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can come to you in prayer and just to bring these things up before you, Lord. And we see these practical things of how to live, Lord, importance of prayer in our lives. And, Lord, being very careful to try to live peaceably with all men and doing everything we can to do that and to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And, Lord, never to take vengeance for ourselves, but to leave that to you. And help us to just step back and say, Lord, it's up to you. Protect me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. And God will do that. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Father, and we praise you, Lord. And I thank you for these dear ones that have come to hear your word. They truly want to seek you, and it's wonderful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And how does peace come? Prayer, right? Guys, weren't you listening? Yes. And keep you safe all through the week. God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen.